The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Last night marked the 8th consecutive night of strikes by the United States against Iran, the latest in the series being dubbed a revenge attack by the United States for the deaths of U.S. service personnel in Jordan. I'm joined on the line by Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at the University of Bradford. Paul, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Is this looking more like a forever war?
It is, to some extent, yes. And I think the problem is that neither side seems to be able to get ahead properly, and neither side is losing. It's almost like Ukraine in another dimension. But that's where we are. And I think the problem for the United States is they need to, so to speak, bend Iran to their will so that Iran will negotiate fully. Iran doesn't feel the need to do that. The problem, I think, for the Americans is that they failed with Israel in the original plan to change the regime in Tehran. And what they've actually done is actually produce a regime which, if anything, is more hardline than before, because it's more dominated by the Revolutionary Guard Corps. And the Guard Corps is prepared to take a lot of punishment or enable Iran to take a lot of punishment while keeping a very stronghold on public opinion. And as far as Iran is concerned, they want to keep this up. And they've got several things in their armory, so to speak, which they've not used yet. And the end result is really it's going to be very difficult for the United States, particularly, I think, with what happened, as you reported, with two American service people killed, at least four more wounded, and one missing. We don't know whether all of these were in the attack in Jordan. We don't know the nature of the attack. But there are indications, only indications at the moment, that it did involve a ballistic missile attack in which two missiles got through and caused explosions. If that's the case, that will cause huge concern in Washington, because Americans will have been used state-of-the-art air defenses. And if they are failing to actually intercept some of the Iranian missiles, then they're going to have quite a lot of thinking to do. So overall, it's a real mess, and it's very difficult to predict how it will go. But Trump is getting extremely frustrated, as indeed, I suspect, are Peter Hegseth in the Pentagon and others. And that's where we are now.
Now, you mentioned that Iran has some unused weapons at its disposal. What are those weapons?
Oh, there are a lot of them. I mean, the point is the CSIS, which is a big and highly rated think tank in Washington, which does a lot in international security, it reckons that it's got probably about half its supplies of ballistic missiles not yet used. And even on the drone side, it may be even more than that. Moreover, Iran could carry on making the drones in small workshops up and down the country. And there are also strong indications, which weren't confirmed before this current war, that Iran had put a lot of the missile facilities, including anti-ship missiles, underground. And many of those had not been hit by the Americans or the Israelis. Probably they don't even know where they are. It's the problem from the American and Israeli perspective is the Iranians have been preparing this for years, if not decades. And they were ready for this kind of attack at some stage and sufficiently flexible for the Iranians actually to respond in different ways. And they have not responded to everything. I mean, we're tending to forget that this is mainly over whether the Strait of Hormuz is going to be kept open or not. But there's another strait, the Bab al-Mandab strait, which is at the sort of southern end of the Red Sea. And that is basically under the control of the Houthis, who are allied to Iran. And they've not used that yet to any great extent. So it's a real, I think, real frustration on the American side. But they've got themselves into a war that they can't easily get away from. And, of course, they have the midterm elections coming up. Final complication is, as far as Israel is concerned, it has an election to fight, general election, at the end of October. And what it wants, if anything, is another war between then and now. Because if you get a high state of war tension, Netanyahu is more likely to get people voting for him on the principle that he knows about fighting these wars. So it's a pretty dreadful situation at the moment, and nobody from outside is intervening in a more peaceful direction, at least with any sign that we can see of it.
Now, we know that Trump would like the Strait of Hormuz open so that oil supplies can flow. Therefore, the world market calms, prices at the pump go down, and he thinks he might prosper a little bit better in the midterms in November if the price of the pumps is back where it used to be. Unlikely, but that is what he would hope. But the Iranians also need the flow of oil to feed the population.
They do, but of course they want the flow of oil under their control. Probably get some money out of it. Yes, Iran is in a mess. I mean, it should be under any illusion. All the sanctions and the rest have been really pretty dire for ordinary Iranians. There is opposition to the regime. That opposition is put down with fairly considerable force. But as far as the current regime is concerned, and I think the term regime is probably the right one because the present leadership is not elected in any sense. But the current regime basically feels it continue as it is for the moment and see if the Americans are forced to give more, at least behind the scenes. And at least you will have the groups in Oman and particularly Qatar who are ready to try and mediate, and probably Egypt as well. But that does not seem to be going anywhere at present, even if the phone lines may occasionally be open.
This memorandum of understanding, which led to the ceasefire, however broken it was almost immediately, it looks like now that it was almost designed to fail. You get both parties taking a different understanding of that memorandum, and therefore giving rise to the hostilities. I mean, was it just rushed?
I think it was partly rushed. I think probably that was the main thing. But yes, it gave either side the opportunity to be pretty liberal, economical with the truth, I think is the sort of phrase you might use in interpreting it. It was really something to get some kind of talks underway. Mainly, I think, from the Americans, because they felt under more pressure. But the Iranians, too, and certainly the ordinary Iranian people, many of them, many millions of them, will be suffering a lot from the effects of the war and the damage that is being done to their economy. But as far as the Guard is concerned, the Revolutionary Guard is concerned, they believe it is bearable, at least for now. And I think it may be bearable for quite a lot of damage. And, of course, there is more anti-American feeling around in the region. And we mustn't forget that the major paramilitary groups still active in countries like Iraq, which are actually pretty favorable to Iran. And, of course, one of the great real developments in Iraq in recent years has been an increase among many ordinary Iraqis for support for Iran and sort of an anger that Americans are playing such a big role. Most Americans have withdrawn from Iraq in the last few weeks, but there's still plenty there, and it's quite possible there may be attacks against them as well.
The final question is what this does to the other Gulf states who have offered American military accommodations there. You know, they have American bases and therefore they're potential targets on their territory. Is that likely to change? I mean, going forward, are they going to say, no, we'll defend ourselves, thank you very much?
I don't think the Americans are going to start throwing the Gulf states are going to start throwing the Americans out of their bases, but they are very significant. And of course, I think Bahrain and Kuwait have taken some losses when American facilities have been hit. And of course, the Americans killed a couple of nights ago were actually in Jordan, not in the sort of direct Gulf state. The one interesting thing here is the most important, probably biggest American base in the entire region will be the Al Udeid Air Base, which is in Qatar, which is one of the countries which is also involved in mediation. And by and large, the Iranians have held back from attacking that in any sort of substantial way. And they could do. They attacked the Prince Sultan Air Force Base in Saudi Arabia, big base with American planes there, and succeeded in destroying one of the key American air control planes and damaging five of their air refueling planes. And one of the lessons of this war, which I think is going down very badly in some quarters in the United States, is the Americans were not prepared for it in terms of air defenses. And their air defenses, let alone the Gulf state ones, are actually being intercepted on times and penetrated. So the end result is that even here, the Americans do not appear to have learned the lesson. Do not underestimate your foe in the Middle East, particularly when that foe is Iran with, 95 million people and a sense of history to it. And that is the kind of thing which we tend to forget in these areas. And it can be really very important.
Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.